أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، last time we were discussing the knowledge of the Arabic language, as Imam الشافعي رحمه الله was emphasizing that it is one of the important requirements of ijtihad, or the ability to make ijtihad. So so he compared the knowledge of the Arabic language to the knowledge of the Sunnah, or the Hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he indicated that the knowledge of the Sunnah cannot be encompassed by one person, but no matter how knowledgeable he is of it, but you need to bring together all the ulama of Sunnah so that you would bring all the knowledge of the Sunnah. He said similarly for the Arabic language that you cannot say that any one tribe or one group have all the knowledge of the Arabic language, and by that he means the original correct Arabic language. But each tribe and each group will have some of its knowledge, and not the other parts of it. And that is why he mentioned that sometimes some people may think that a few terms that are in the Quran are not from Arabic origin. And he responded to that by saying this is not true, because first of all, there is a proof to the contrary in the Quran, and secondly, the knowledge of the Arabic language is not encompassed by any tribe or by any group of people. So if some word that may appear to be non-Arab or non-Arabic to them, they are Arabic to others, because they can't encompass the full knowledge of the Arabic language. And as I mentioned, and I have read this, you know, in books that Ulum al-Quran, which study the knowledge of the Quran, sometimes they have usually a discussion of the terms which are not Arabic in the Quran, and they bring some words and they say these, some scholars say that they are not Arabic, and as example they give the word Firdaus, as I said, or paradise, which they say is actually a Persian word in origin. Or what other words? Did I mention other words last time? Firdaus. There are a few other words in Surah Al-Insan, for example, Zamhariq. So they say Zamhariq is not Arabic. And what else? Inshallah. Qamtarir, I'm not sure about Qamtarir. Zanjabil, they say Zanjabil is not of Arabic language, of the Arabic origin, and so on. So they pick a few terms and they say these are not Arabic in origin, they are come from other languages. So Imam Shafi, as you heard, responds to this very strongly, saying that this is not true, and nothing in the Quran but is Arabic, pure Arabic in origin and essence and so on. Now, this is where we got last time. He says, we started reading this. وَلَا نُنْكِرُ إِذْ كَانَ اللَّفْظُ قِيلَ تَعَلُّمًا أَوْ نُطِقَ بِهِ مَوْضُوعًا أَنْ يُوَافِقَ لِسَانُ الْعَجَمِ أَوْ بَعْضُهَا قَلِيلًا مِنْ لِسَانِ الْعَرَبِ. He says, we do not deny that if a certain term was said as تَعَلُّمًا, which means somebody learned it or studied it, so that he did not know it before that, so he learned this term from the Arabic language. أَوْ نُطِقَ بِهِ مَوْضُوعًا, or it is said by somebody who has the original Arabic language. So in other words, he's saying if a term is said by somebody who learned it, that a person who's mother tongue is not the Arabic, but he learned a certain term and said it from the Arabic language, or somebody who has his mother tongue as the Arabic and he said a term as an original expression in Arabic. We do not deny, he says, in either case, he says, we do not deny أن يوافق لسان العجم أو بعضها قليلا من لسان العرب. We do not deny that the tongue of the non-Arabs, which means the language, as we said, when he says tongue, he means language. We do not deny that the tongue of the non-Arabs, or some of them, of the non-Arabs, their tongue, would agree with some of the tongue of the Arabs. Which means, he's saying, we do not deny that some words that you may see in the Arabic language would agree with some of the words that are not in the Arabic, that are in other languages. We do not deny such a thing. كما يتفق القليل من ألسنة العجم المتباينة في أكثر كلامها مع تناء ديارها واختلاف لسانها وبعض الأواصر بينها وبين من وافقت بعض لسانه منها. He says, يتفق يعني يتفق. It's one way of saying it, because now in the common Arabic we say يتفق, but he's saying that this is the correct original Arabic wording, and that is how Imam Shafi'i used to speak the pure original Arabic. So as we said in the beginning, in the introduction, that some of the scholars of the Arabic language, like Ibn Hisham, they said the words of Imam Shafi'i can be used as an evidence for the language because of how strong they are. Like when the people use the Jahili poetry and the Quran, of course, and the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ to prove that some words are correct or not from an Arabic viewpoint. Similarly, he said that the words of Imam Shafi'i can be used in that respect. So here the word يَأْتَفِقُ or يَأْتَفِقُ is one way of saying يَتَّفِقُ. So he says, the meaning of this, he's saying this is similar to the fact that sometimes you find some of the words in some foreign language agreeing with words in some other foreign language, even though these two languages are, the people of those two languages are so far away from each other, they live so far away from each other, like Chinese and baby talk, for example, or something like that. You find they agree even though they are so far in length. Well, like, you know, some very far people living very far from each other, you may find words which agree with each other. And Allahu A'lam, what's the reason for this? Now, that's from me. Could be part of it is that some of the words are derived from sounds that reflect the meaning of the word, of the term. So these sounds are similar to all people. And like, for example, in Arabic, ringing, you say ranin. In English, No, no, sugar doesn't have sound, but I'm saying words that have sound. Ranin and ringing. You see, they are in English and Arabic, they are different words, but they are very similar. Ring, you know, ringing. So they it's a word that has comes from the sound to some degree. What other example? I don't think thunder is the same in English and Arabic. Thunder and Ra'd, they are very different. But sometimes you will find, but he's saying sometimes you find words in languages of people who are so far apart agreeing with each other, similar to each other in these two languages, despite the loose connections or the far connections between them, between those two people, that these terms agree for them. So he's saying this is not a proof at all. If some words in the Quran or in the Arabic language happen to agree with or be similar to words in other languages, then there's nothing wrong with this. That doesn't mean that these words are not Arabic. Now I want to say that some ulama do not agree, as I said earlier, and their response, they agree with the Imam Shafi'i that the Quran has no foreign language, not even one word, and everything in it is Arabic. But what they say is that these words, they had Arabic, non-Arabic origins, and then they were assimilated in the Arabic language, and eventually they became part of the language, like these words Firdaus and what Zukhruf, for example, and other words that we mentioned. Zukhruf, yeah, I think it is one of the words that they bring up as Zukhruf means decoration, but it means also gold. And the Quran is used as gold, in the meaning of gold, and both meanings actually. So he's saying that, I mean, the other people say that those did come from other languages, and then they were accepted and became part of the Arabic language with time. Not at the time when the Quran was revealed, but even many centuries before that, or many generations before that. And they bring proof for what they say. The scholars of the language, they bring proofs, because some of the words, they do not have the, what you call it, I forgot the word in English, where you have a verb and then you start making the derivations of it in different forms.
Conjugation.
So they say they do not have conjugation. They do not have these words, they come as one word. So Firdaus, for example, what is the origin of it? Because every Arabic word has three letters origin, and this cannot have, and it cannot be conjugated in any way to give you Firdaus. So it must be an mu'arraba, or a foreign term that was eventually turned into Arabic because there was no equivalent Arabic term to it. So Allahu A'lam, I mean, whether this is true or not, but in either case, whether it's the opinion of Imam Shafi or the other ulama, still there is nothing that is non-Arabic in the Quran. All what's in it is Arabic. And someone will say, you know, for the sake of philosophizing, how do languages form? How were they formed? How did the Arabic language form? How was it formed? I mean, it did not come as one package that never increased or decreased. It started, the original Arabic started from tribes of Yemen, and then at the time of Ismail alayhi salam, he learned it from them, and then definitely through these many centuries until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, many terms entered into Arabic language from mixing with the neighboring cultures, maybe not too much because of the pure way that the Arabs lived, without being contaminated much with the surrounding cultures in the desert, but still there was some kind of change in the language through the times. I mean, no language starts perfect or complete as a revelation, as a book from the heavens. Definitely the languages go through stages of formation, of changes, and so on. Salaam alaikum. And we see now, you know, in all languages, even the Arabic of our time, it's so different from the original Arabic of the Quran. And sometimes the people say things in today's Arabic that are totally different in meaning from the original Arabic meanings. So they use terms that they used to mean something, and now they use them in a totally different meaning. So anyways, let's continue with here. فَإِنْ قَالَ, he says, Imam al-Shafi'i, فَإِنْ قَالَ قَائِلْ مَا الْحُجَّةُ فِي أَنَّ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ مَحْضٌ بِلِسَانِ الْعَرَبِ لَا يَخْلِطُهُ فِيهِ غَيْرُهُ. He says, and what, and if a person would say, and you see this common in the book of Imam al-Shafi'i, that he includes a lot of dialogue, like hypothetical dialogue, but it could be real, that somebody did ask him this, and he responded to him in such a way, and he's bringing his dialogue here. So it's good that he keeps, you know, in case you have a question, this is the question, this is the answer to that question. So that makes it more rich, the discussion more rich. So he says, if a person says, what is the evidence in regard to that Allah's book is purely in the tongue of the Arabs and is not mixed, or nothing other than it is mixed with it, it's not mixed with anything else, it's not contaminated with any other language. فَالْحُجَّةُ فِيهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. He says, the evidence in this regard is the book of Allah itself. قَالَ اللَّهُ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمٍ. Allah said, we have not sent a messenger but with the tongue of his people. So the Prophet ﷺ came to the Arabs, and therefore he was not sent but with the tongue of the Arabs, which is the pure Arabic. فإن قال قائل فإن الرسل قبل محمد كانوا يرسلون إلى قومهم خاصة وأن محمدا بعث إلى الناس كافة. Now he is putting another hypothetical question. What if someone says that the messengers before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be sent to their people, specifically to their people, but Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to all people? فقد يحتمل أن يكون بعث بلسان قومه خاصة ويكون على الناس كافة يتعلم لسانه وما أطاق منه ويحتمل أن يكون بعث بألسنتهم. He says, this means, he's still presenting the question of that person, hypothetical question. He says, this could mean that he was sent by or with the language of his people, specifically the Arabs, yani. And that all of the other people are required to learn his language as much as they can do it, as much as they are able to do so. And the other possibility, وَيَحْتَمِلُ أَنْ يَكُونَ بُعْثَ بِأَسْنَتِهِمْ, and it is possible that he was sent with all of their languages, all of their tongues. فَهَلْ مِنْ دَيْعَ أَنَّهُ بُعْثَ بِأَسْنَةِ قَوْمِ خَصَدًا دُونَ أَسْنَةِ الْعَجَمِ. Is there a proof that he was sent specifically with his people's language and not any of the languages of the non-Arabs? فَإِذَا okay, فَإِذَا كَانَتْ. Now here is something in the footnotes. It looks like something was dropped from the text. I don't know if you have it in that edition. Huh? He says, فَإِذَا كَانَ الْأَسْنَةُ مُخْتَلِفَةً. Okay. He says here in the footnote, he says this is the answer to the question. But it is not clear that it is an answer to the question. It's like there's some text missing. Yeah. He says, وَيَظْهَرْ أَنَّ بَعْضَ قَارِئِي الْأَصْلِ لَمْ يَبُنْ لَهُ وَجْهُ هَذِهِ الْإِجَابَةِ. It looks like some of the people who read the original manuscript was not clear to him the way or the how this is an answer to the previous question. So he added in the as a footnote with a different handwriting the following texts. فالدلالة على ذلك بينة في كتاب الله تعالى في غير موضع في اللسان. The proof, an answer يعني, the proof for that is clear in Allah's book in more than one place in regard to the language, to the Arabic language. The Shafi'i said, and then they started, Al-Shafi'i said, and they continued the discussion.
The answer
is there. It's number 152. But he's saying, Ahmad Shakir, he's saying that this thing that the people added is not good. Seems that it doesn't change or add anything to the clarity of the text. So we do not need it. I'm just saying that. Because you may happen to come across an edition which did have that part or that that few additional words, those few additional words, because he says, Imam Ahmad Shakir, that it was printed like that in some of the editions. He says, Imam Shafi'i, in answer, فَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْأَسْنَةُ مُخْتَلِفَةً بِمَا لَا يَفْهَمُهُ بَعْضُهُمْ عَنْ بَعْضُ فَلَا بُدَّ أَن يَكُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ تَبَعًا لِبَعْضٍ. He's answering. He's an answer. Because he said there are two options, right? Two possibilities. Either that all of the Quran is in the Arabic language, and then, which is the language of his specific people, and then the other people will need to learn of the Arabic as much as is possible for them to learn, or else that the Quran contained Arabic and non-Arabic in it, a lot of languages. He says, فَإِذَا كَانَتِ الْأَسْنَةُ مُخْتَلِفَةً. His response, if the different languages, if the languages were different to the extent that they would not be able to understand each other, فَلَا بُدَّ أَن يَكُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ تَبَعًا لِبَعْضٍ, then some of them should be followers of others. وَيَكُونَ الْفَضْلُ فِي اللِّسَانِ الْمُتَّبَعِ عَلَى التَّابِعِ, and that more virtue would be given to the language that is being followed over the languages that are the followers. That are the followers. Saying if there are many languages, this is like a mathematical, you know, equation. He's talking, you know, like abstract algebra or something like that. But he's saying that if there are different languages than there are, if we assume the second possibility, then there are a number of languages in the Quran. But one of them should be better than the others, and the other should be the followers of that language. وَأَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِالْفَضْلِ فِي اللِّسَانِ مَنْ لِسَانُ وَلِسَانُ النَّبِيِّ, and the people who have the best virtue in regard to the language are those whose language is the language of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلَا يَجُوزُ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ, and it is not permissible, Allah knowing best, أَنْ يَكُونَ أَهْلُ لِسَانِهِ أَتْبَاعًا لِأَهْلِ لِسَانِ غَيْرِ لِسَانِهِ فِي حَرْفٍ وَاحِدٍ. It's not permissible that, or possible that, the people of his language, which means the Arabs, be following the people of any other language in even a single letter. بَلْ كُلُّ لِسَانٍ تَبَعُنِ لِسَانِهِ, rather every other language is a follower of his language. وَكُلُّ أَهْلِ دِينٍ قَبْلَهُ فَعَلَيْهِمُ اتِّبَاعُ دِينِهِ, as well as that the people of every religion before him, it is required for them to follow his religion.
So that means all nations have to follow him.
Yeah, in regard to Islam, yeah. Exactly. And understanding of the Quran. وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ فِي غَيْرِ آيَةٍ مِّن كِتَابِهِ. Now, you see that if we put that text in the top, it will be redundant. There's no need for it, because now he's saying it, Imam Shafi'i here. He says, وَقَدْ بَيَّنَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ فِي غَيْرِ آيَةٍ مِّن كِتَابِهِ. Allah has clarified this in more than one ayah of his book. قال الله, Allah says, وَإِنَّهُ لَتَنْزِيلُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, نزل به الروح الأمين على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين بلسان عربي مبين. Which means, and indeed it is a revelation from the Lord of the peoples. It was brought down by the trustworthy spirit to your heart or upon your heart, so that you would be of the warners with a clear Arabic tongue. So it was brought down with a clear Arabic tongue. وقال, and also he said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَاهُ حُكْمًا عَرَبِيًّا, and thus we have sent it down as an Arabic ruling. وقال وكذلك أوحينا إليك قرآنا عربيا لتنذر أمة القرى ومن حولها. And thus we have revealed to you an Arabic Quran, so that you would give warnings to the mother of the towns, which means Mecca, and what is surrounding it, its surroundings, which means the towns, the areas around it. And he said, let me mention the ayat here where they come from. The first ayah, of course, is the first few are from Surah Al-Dukhan, the beginning of Surah Al-Dukhan. The next one is from Surah Al-Rad, and wait a minute, the first ayat is from Surah Shu'ara, The first ayat are from Surah Al-Shu'ara, near the end of Surah Al-Shu'ara. The second is from Surah Al-Rad. The third is from Surah Al-Shura. And now the next one here, Hamim والكتاب المبين إنا جعلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. Hamim, by the clear book, we indeed have made it as an Arabic Quran recital that you may take heed or you may understand. This was Zukhruf in the beginning. وقال قرآنا عربيا غير ذي عوج لعلهم يتقون, سورة الزمر, which means an Arabic Quran that has no twisting in it, that they may have taqwa, the people who read it. قال الشافعي, so الشافعي, after citing these ayat to prove that the Quran is all Arabic, he said فأقام حجته بأن كتابه عربي. Thus, he established his evidence, which means he means Allah. He established his evidence that his book is Arabic. Allah Azza wa Jal established the evidence that his book is in the Arabic language. في كل آية ذكرناها, in every one of the ayat that we mentioned. ثم أكد ذلك بأن نفى عنه جل ثناؤه كل لسان غير لسان العرب في آيتين من كتابه. He said he even confirmed that by denying Jalla Thana'u, praised be his glory, that by denying that there is any other language other than the Arabic language in the book, that is in the Quran. He mentioned this in two ayat of his book, in two ayat of the Quran. فقال تبارك وتعالى, so Allah تبارك وتعالى said, may he be glorified and exalted, said, ولقد نعلم أنهم يقولون إنما يعلمه بشر لسان الذي يلحدون إليه أعجمي وهذا لسان عربي مبين. We know that they claim that it is only taught by a human being. Some of the disbelievers claim that the Quran was taught to the Prophet ﷺ by a human being, by a Christian monk or priest. Now Allah is responding by saying, لِسَانُ الَّذِي يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ أَعْجَمِي, but the language of that to whom they refer, to whom they are in regard to whom they are fabricating their lies, his tongue is non-Arabic. وَهَذَا لِسَانُ عَرَبِيٌّ مُبِينٌ, and this is a clear Arabic tongue. So how could this be from him? This is in Surah An-Nahl, and the next ayah, which is from Surah Fussilat. وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا أَعْجَمِيًّا لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ أَعْجَمِيٌّ وَعَرَبِيٌّ. Had we made it a non-Arabic Quran, they would have complained by saying, we wish, we would that its ayat are made clear, which means we cannot. Non-Arabic and Arabic at the same time? Can't be, which means it's either one of the two. قال الشافعي. Then الشافعي continued. وعرفنا نعمه مما خص بما خصنا به من مكانه ف. And he also made known to us his favors upon us, يعني Allah عز وجل told us of his favors on us. In regard to that, he has given us a special favor. What is that? Min makani, in regard to his position, the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bima khassa nabiyyi min makani faqal laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum. He told us, he said to us, he addressing the Arabs, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. To you have come a messenger from among you. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِدْتُمْ. Aziz means it is important to him whatever discomforts you. So any discomfort for you is of concern to him. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He is very concerned about you. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. And towards the believers is kind and merciful. So Allah is telling of a favor that he favored the Arabs with, that he sent a messenger to them from themselves, he's saying. Now somebody will, by hearing what we are discussing up till now today, he will think that the whole purpose is to prove that the Arabs are better than the non-Arabs, or something to that effect. But, of course, I mean, this is not the intention. What Imam Shafi's intention, yeah, I know, I mean, it's true to some people, but there are no more Arabs in our day, so that will not benefit us, so, of those Arabs that you're talking about. Yeah. But what he's talking about is more about in regard to he wants to prove that the importance of the Arabic language, and that the Quran is all sent in the Arabic language. So in order to make ijtihad, you need to know the Arabic language, and which is the sole language of the Quran. وقال هو الذي بعث الأمية رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آيات ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل في ضلال مبين. Which means it is he who sent to the illiterate people a messenger from among themselves, reciting his ayat to them and purifying them and teaching them the book and wisdom, even though before that they were in clear misguidance. So again, this is an indication of Allah's favor, that he sent to the illiterate Arabs a messenger from among themselves, so he himself is an Arab speaking with an Arabic language. وَكَانَ مِمَّا عَرَّفَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ مِنْ إِنْعَامِهِ أَنْ قَالْ وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ. And of what Allah made known or emphasized to his Prophet, of the favor that he gave him, granted him, is saying وَإِنَّا ذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ. This is in Surah Az-Zukhruf, which means, and it is okay, the previous ayah was from Surah Al-Jumu'ah, and the one before it from Surah Al-Tawbah. So this one is from Surah Az-Zukhruf. He said وَإِنَّهُ لَذِكْرٌ لَكَ وَلِقَوْمِكَ. And indeed it is a reminder for you and your people, the Quran, you and your people who are the Arabs. فَخَصَّ قَوْمَهُ بِالذِّكْرِ مَعَهُ بِكِتَابِ. So Allah specified the mention of his people, which means the Arabs, the people of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He specified their mention in his book with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he mention them specifically with the Prophet ﷺ in the book by saying it is a reminder for you and your people, and you will be questioned. وقال, and also he told him, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, give warning to your close family or tribe. This is also Surah Shara. وَقَالْ لِتُنذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَى وَمَنْ حَوْلَى, and he told him so that he would give warning to the mother of towns, which is Mecca, and what is surrounding it. This is as we said in Surah Ash-Shura, وَأُمُّ الْقُرَى Mecca, the mother of towns is Mecca, وَهِيَ بَلَدُهُ وَبَلَدُ قَوْمِهِ, and it is his town and the town of his people. فَجَعَلَهُمْ فِي كِتَابِهِ خَاصَّةِ وَأَدْخَلَهُمْ مَعَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ عَامَّةِ. So he mentioned them specifically in his book, and then he included them with the other people to be warned in general, because he said the people of Mecca and what is surrounding it. So your warning comes to Mecca and what's around it. وَقَضَى أَن يُنذَرُوا بِلِسَانِهِمُ الْعَرَبِيِّ, and Allah decreed that they should be warned with or in their Arabic tongue. لِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ مِنْهُمْ خَاصَّةِ, which is the tongue of his people in particular, his tribe in particular. So now after all this discussion, he reaches the conclusion. He says, فعلى كل مسلم أن يتعلم من لسان العربي ما بلغه جهده. Thus, it is an obligation on every Muslim to learn of the tongue of the Arabs as much as his effort can reach. حتى يشهد به أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So that he would be able to testify with it, which means in Arabic, that there is no God worthy of being worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant or abd and messenger. ويتلو به كتاب الله, and so that he would be able to recite with this knowledge the book of Allah. وينطق بالذكر فيما افترض عليه من التكبير وأمر به من التسبيح والتشهد وغير ذلك, and so that he would be able to pronounce the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, the words of remembrance, in regard to what was made an obligation on him, on the person that is, on the Muslim, of takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, and what he was commanded to say of Subhanallah, and then tashahud in the prayer, and so on. وَمَزْدَادَ, وَمَا ازْدَادَ مِنَ الْعَلْمِ بِاللِّسَانِ الَّذِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِسَانًا مَنْ خَتَمَ بِهِ نُبُوَّتَهُ وَأَنْزَلَ بِهِ آخِرَ كُتُبِهِ كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And whoever increases in the knowledge of this language, the language that Allah made it, that of the one who was the last of his, or the seal of his prophethood, which means Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and with which he sent his last book, anyone who increases in this knowledge, كان خير الله, it would be better for him. كما عليه أن يتعلم الصلاة والذكر فيها. Similar to that, he has to learn the prayer and the dhikr in it, which means in this language. ويأتي البيت وما أمر بإتيانه ويتوجه لما وجه له. And that he would come to the bayt, which means the house, Kaaba, and what he was commanded to do when he goes to Kaaba and for Umrah and Hajj, وَيَتَوَجَّهُ لِمَا وُجِّهَ لَهُ, and turn his face in the direction that he is required to turn his face. وَيَكُونُ تَبَعًا فِي مَا افْتُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ وَنُدِبَ إِلَيْهِ لَا مَتْبُوعًا, and that he would be a follower in what has been enjoined on him or recommended to him. He should be a follower and not a followed one. Now let's see, let's explain some of this text here, because it may be a little unclear. So he says, say that he has to be a follower and not a followed one. No, I just read what Sheikh Ahmad Shakir rahimahullah said. He said because this nation that the book, the Quran, the noble book was revealed in its tongue, it is required from it to work hard on spreading its religion as well as its tongue, its language, and its customs and manners. It should work on spreading this among the other nations. And by customs, he definitely means the Islamic customs, not the national Arabic customs of today, of Egypt and Palestine and Jordan and Saudi Arabia and North Africa and so on. No, he means the Islamic customs. It's required from it to spread its customs and its culture, that is, and its religion among the other nations, calling it to that with which its prophet came with, of guidance and the true religion, so that all of these nations would become one nation, Islamic nation, with one religion and one Qibla and one language and one personality, or the basics of its personality would be as common, so that it would be an intermediate nation, and so they that would be the people, that is, of this nation, witnesses over the other people, like in the Quran. Yeah. So whoever would like to be part of this Islamic unity, then he has to believe in its religion and follow its laws and be guided by its guidance and learn its language. And in all of this, he should be a follower, not a followed one. By a follower, he means that you have to follow the language of the original Arabs. You should not make up your own language. You should follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. You should not make yourself like a person to be followed. Okay? So we should be followers of the Prophet ﷺ in his language, in his religion, in his guidance, in his teachings, in everything that he came with. وإنما بدأت بما وصفت من أن القرآن نزل بلسان العرب دون غيره لأنه لا يعلم من إيضاح جمل علم الكتاب أحد جهل سعة لسان العرب. And I have only started by describing that the Quran was revealed with the tongue of the Arabs and not any other tongue, so that because, he's saying, because no one, لا يعلم أحد جاهل ساعة السنة العرب, no one who does not know the wideness of the Arabic language would be able to know, to clarify the general text of the knowledge of the book. That is, the general text of the Quran that needs explanation, he would not be able to understand them if he has a limitation in understanding the Arabic language. Anybody who does not understand the encompassing nature of the Arabic language, وَكَثْرَةَ وُجُوهِ, and that it has many facets, which means the words can be in different forms, in different manners, in different, they could be different words which mean the same thing, and so on. وَجِمَاعِ مَعَانِيهِ وَتَفَرُّقِهَا, and how, what brings the meanings together or makes them separate. وَمَنْ عَلِيمَهُ انْتَفَتْ عَنْهُ الشُّبَهُ الَّتِي دَخَلَتْ عَلَى مَنْ جَهِلَ لِسَانِهَا, and that who knows this, which means the Arabic tongue, then the doubts would be removed from him which have been cast on those who do not understand this language. فكان تنبيه العام على أن القرآن نزل بلسان العربي خاصة. So it is telling the common people that the Quran was specifically revealed by the language of the Arab, this thing is nasiha to the Muslimin. I give it as an advice to the Muslims. Nasiha. والنصيحة لهم فرض لا ينبغي تركه. And nasiha, the advice, and nasiha, the original meaning of the word nasiha in Arabic is nasaha, which means that it is pure and clear. Nasaha al-laban, the milk is clear and pure, that's nasaha. So nasiha means to give pure, clean, clear words to someone. So it carries more than advice in English. The word nasiha in Arabic has a better meaning. The word nasiha in Arabic has better meaning than the word advice in English. Nasaha ghir, nadaha. Nadaha means to take out the milk, or to pour it, or something like that. But nasaha means to be pure and clean. So al-nasiha, so this, he says, this what I'm saying is nasiha for the Muslims. والنصيحة لهم فرض لا ينبغي تركه. And this nasiha is an obligation that may not be dropped. وإدراك نافلة خير لا يدعها إلا من سفي نفسه. And it is a means of attaining additional goodness or additional rewards that no one would neglect, but somebody who does not have concern about himself. وَتَرَكَ مَوْضِعَ حَظِّهِ, and who is careless about what benefits him. وَكَانَ يَجْمَعُ مَعَ النَّصِيحَةِ لَهُمْ قِيَامًا بِإِضَاحِ حَقٍّ. He says, now he goes back to the beginning of the sentence, because in the beginning of the sentence he says, فَكَانَ تَنْبِيهُ الْعَامَةِ, so thus the warning of the common people about that the Quran, or the تَنْبِيهُ means like you wake up someone, you make him aware of something, that's تَنْبِيهُ. So making the common people aware about that the Quran was revealed by the Quran is a nasiha, he says. Now he's adding, he says, وَكَانَ, also this tanbih, which means this, what we said tanbih, making them aware, the common people, يَجْمَعُ مَعَ النَّصِيحَ, bring, encompasses or comprises, in addition to nasiha lahum, for them, in addition to giving them nasiha, this thing also قِيَامًا بِإِضَاحِ حَقٍّ, it also clarifies a truth, or it performs a clarification of the truth. وَكَانَ الْقِيَامُ بِالْحَقِّ وَنَصِيحَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ, and clarifying the truth plus giving nasiha to the Muslims, both of them are of the acts of obedience to Allah. وَطَاعَةُ اللَّهِ جامعة للخير, and the obedience to Allah is a thing that encompasses the good. So you see that when he does something, he makes ihtisab. That's how a believer should be. That when you do something, you, like somebody who is doing a financial transaction, dealing with something, selling and buying. He says, okay, if I sell this, or if I do this, if I give this, then I expect in return so many things. I expect so much to sell it. Or I give an advertisement, I put an advertisement, it costs me so much, but I expect in return so many things. Otherwise you would not make an advertisement, and so on. So this is called ihtisab, but in a material way. That somebody does something expecting the rewards in this worldly life for it. But we Muslims are supposed to make ihtisab in regard to our deeds of ibadah. We do something, we do an act of worship, and we should have in our mind how much reward is coming to us out of that act. It doesn't mean that we guarantee that reward, but it means that we should have a mind so that we ask Allah to give us, to grant us this reward, and we expect it from Him. This is ihtisab. So for example, if I have two options, one of them is an option that would bring me, like I put an advertisement in some obscure journal, and another one that would cost probably a little more in a very well known journal, very well circulated journal, and it will bring me, I think that this will bring me much more reward, monetary reward. So I do this instead of that. Similarly, in acts of worship, if I have limitations in time and effort and so on, so I have to know which need to expect more reward out of it. Like a stingy miser merchant, but in regard to the deeds of the Akhirah, and as Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ, and in regard to that thing, let the competitors compete. So you see that Imam Shafi'i, when he does this, when he explains about the importance of the Arabic language, he says this has two benefits. And both of these two benefits involve obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, and the obedience to Allah encompasses all goods. أخبرنا سفيان. Now he reports some ahadith about the importance of nasiha, since he said that this is nasiha. He says أخبرنا سفيان. Sufyan told us, and by Sufyan he means Sufyan bin Uyayna. Sufyan bin Uyayna. Uyayna was one of the great scholars of Islam, a contemporary of Imam al-Shafi, like a teacher of him. He narrates hadith from him, as you see here. He says Sufyan told us from Ziyad bin Alaqa. Ziyad bin Alaqa. Bin Ilaqa, sorry. And Ziyad bin Ilaqa. قال سمعت جرير بن عبد الله يقول بايعت النبي على النصح لكل مسلم. I gave bay'ah to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم on that. Bay'ah means my covenant to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that I would provide nusah, pure advice to every Muslim. I would provide pure advice to every Muslim. Now here Imam Ahmad bin Shakir rahimahullah, Ahmad Shakir, he says in commentary, he says وَهَذَا إِسْنَادٌ عَالٍ صَيْحٍ. This isnad is high and authentic. Is high and authentic. What does he mean by high? I think we mentioned this before. A high isnad. إسناد عال. عال means it is an إسناد which is very close to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, which means there are not too many people intermediate between him and between the narrator and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because how many people there are? Shafi'i said that Sufyan told me, so from Shafi'i there is Sufyan, from Sufyan Ziyad, from Ziyad the Sahabi Jarir, from Jarir the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there are only three people between Shafi'i and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this isnad. So this is considered a very good isnad if the people, or the people in the isnad, are good, and they are in this case. Sufyan bin Uyayna and Ziyad bin Al-Ilaqa and Jarir Abdullah, of course, the Sahabi. So with such an isnad, this is considered Ali. And this is, these are like the gems that the scholars of hadith love to collect, these isnads that are so short. Because the shorter the isnad, the less chance there is of anything going wrong along the way. And this is one of the hadith that are in the musnad of Imam al-Shafi'i. Imam al-Shafi'i is not one of the heavy narrators of hadith, but still he has some narrations like this one. And you see this isnad, this narration is direct to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with only a couple of people between him and the Sahabi. And then he reports another narration. أَخْبَرَنَا ابْنُ عُيَيْنَا. Also ابْنُ عُيَيْنَا told us. And you see in the first case he said Sufyan, in the second case he said ابْنُ عُيَيْنَا, he means the same. And sometimes, as probably we saw once before, he does not name him. He says, a trustworthy person told me, and he means him sometimes. Sometimes he means somebody else, you can tell from the context. But he is one of his teachers, Ibn Uyayna, and companions. So he said, Ibn Uyayna told us, and Suhail bin Abi Salih, from Suhail bin Abi Salih, from Ata ibn Yazid. Now this, you notice, is a longer isnad, not as high as the other one. There is one more person in the chain. From Suhail bin Abi Salih, from Ata ibn Yazid al-Laythi, that's the name of Ata ibn Yazid al-Laythi, from Tamim al-Dari. From Tamim al-Dari, and Tamim al-Dari is one of the Sahaba, that the Prophet ﷺ said, إن الدين النصيحة إن الدين النصيحة إن الدين النصيحة. That the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, the religion is pure advice. Religion is pure advice. Religion is pure advice. لله ولكتابه ولنبيه ولأئمة المسلمين وعامته. And to whom is this نصيحة? And some of the narrations of this hadith, here the Prophet ﷺ is asked, to whom, O Allah's Messenger? He says, the pure advice would be for Allah's book, for His Prophet ﷺ, and to the Imams of Muslims and the common Muslims. Which means you should deal in pure advice in regard to the Book of Allah, which means advise people in this regard and in regard to the Prophet ﷺ and his Sunnah in a pure and truthful way, and also give pure advice to the Imams of Muslims and the common Muslims. Al-Farq bin Ashwi. Imams, yani the rulers of Muslims. Yani the common people. So you give pure advice to the Imams, to the rulers, because the rulers need somebody to guide them. So you have to give advice to them and call people to chop their heads and things like this. You know. Yeah, I'm kidding. I mean, if this is recorded like this, then people will believe it, you know. So
trying to say the opposite.
Right. Right. So it means that you give them pure advice, useful advice, beneficent advice. So do not neglect advising them. Of course, in the best way, in the way that will not cause harm or more harm than good, and also to the common people. So it's an obligation on every Muslim to provide advice to the Imams of Muslims, to the rulers of the Muslims, to the people in charge of the affairs of Muslims, as well as the common people. That's what it means. And who is Tamim al-Dari? Do you know anything about him? Do you remember any other hadith reported by him? This Sahabi? Tamim al-Dari, before Islam, he was a Christian. He was one of the Sahaba who of the Muslim, of the Arabs who embraced Christianity before Islam. Like what's his name? The Ali ibn Ka'b. Sufyan. Salman al-Farisi. Yeah. Ali ibn Hatim, yeah, that's, he was like that too. So what do you remember about Tamim al-Dari? No, that was Adi ibn Ka'b, Adi ibn Hatim. No, Tamim al-Dari is the one who reported the hadith of Al-Jassasa. Al-Jassasa, the beast that was on the island when they went and saw the beast. So he said, he reported that they were on a trip in the sea, yani, and they got lost on the boat, and then the boats took them to a there was a like a storm and so on, and the boats took them to a to an island, and they saw this animal, and he took them to Dajjal. And then when they came back to the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, I think he embraced Islam after that. He did not know about that, about Islam before. So he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he told him what he saw. And he said he called people to the Prophet ﷺ and he gave them a khutbah. He called them to the masjid, adhan was given, and gave them a khutbah, and he said, "Don't you hear what Tamim al-Dari just told me? I have been telling you about the Dajjal," and then he told them some more of what he told them. So anyway, this is Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu. I think we should be close to finishing now. We got like half a minute left, so let's make use of it. قال الشافعي فإنما خاطب الله بكتابه العرب بلسانها. So Allah Azza wa Jal has only spoken to the Arabs in His book, to the Arabs with their tongue, with their language. Has only spoken to the Arabs with their own language. على ما تعرف من معانيها, according to what they know of the meanings of the Arabic language. وكان مما تعرف من معانيها اتساع لسانها. And among what the Arabs know of the meanings of their language is that it has a lot of meanings. وأن فطرته أن يخاطب بالشيء منه عاما ظاهرا يراد به العام الظاهر. And that